In a way, that last hymn gives a bit of a clue to my text this evening, which is verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is one of the greatest declarations imaginable and a fundamental truth for the Christian church. This wonderful verse is something of a summary of everything that has been said in the letter to the Hebrews up to this point. It could be said that the writer, and notice I say the writer, I'm not sure who it is, many people can argue over that, but could be said that the writer is summarizing the whole epistle in a nutshell with the words of our text. You see, the main thrust of the letter to the Hebrews was to persuade and press the believing Jewish converts to a constant devotion and perseverance in the Christian faith. But they were suffering, and sufferings was coming upon them. And of course, these Hebrew Christians, they came from the background of worshipping God through sacrifice and offerings and keeping all the festivals of the Old Testament. And when they had become converted to Christianity, well, almost immediately they started to suffer for their faith. They lost homes and property, work and friends. In effect, they were being cast out of Hebrew society. Well, understandably, this was becoming a stumbling block to them. It was a problem to them. So much so that some of them were becoming tempted to just give up and to go back to their ancient Hebrew religion. And so to counter this temptation, the writer is informing them that Jesus Christ is so much greater than anything that has ever appeared before. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than Moses. He is so much greater and far above all the priests of the Old Testament. For it was Jesus who came to offer to God a far greater sacrifice than all these priests offered throughout the whole of the Old Testament. It is in Christ and Christ alone that we find confirmation of a better and an eternal covenant sealed by his own blood. You see, Jesus Christ is the great everlasting priest, according to the will and word of God. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 110, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So, the writer's argument to these Jewish Christians is that Jesus Christ, who you have put your faith in, is not only much greater than anything that has ever appeared before, but is actually the very one whom your Jewish customs, your Jewish sacrifices, all point to. He is God's anointed. He is Messiah, who is able to save to the uttermost. And this Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In a world that is mad, bad, and ever-changing, I tell you, this is wonderful, glorious news. Jesus, God's anointed, he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He is still the Saviour. He is still the King of Kings. He is still God the Son. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Christian, my aim this evening is that our text will comfort, will strengthen your faith, so that we may all go away glorifying God all the more. Now, if there is any who doesn't believe this, if there is an unbeliever amongst us, I want to try and get you to see that everything you currently have, everything you will ever have in this world will turn out worthless if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Now, the first thing our text draws our attention to is something quite obvious. Jesus Christ is like no other. He is wholly unique from everything and everyone we know, or indeed will ever know in this world. And you don't need faith to understand this. Your common sense will tell you that. And I hope you've all got a bit of common sense. Somebody told me the trouble with the world today is that common sense isn't very common anymore. Well, I hope you've got some common sense. And let your common sense figure this out. For instance, is there anything or anyone that you can think of which is permanent, unchanging, and eternally same in the world? Now, before you hurt your minds thinking about that, I'll give you the answer. No. No. The second law of thermodynamics says that when energy changes from one form to another form, or matter moves freely, entropy or disorder in a closed system increases. In other words, everything is running down. Everything. Nothing remains constant. As the old philosopher said, the only thing that is constant is change. Let's go back to the beginning, in Genesis, to the act of creation by God. When God had finished creating, he looked around and he saw that it was good. And then he placed man in what was then paradise. Now have a look. Look around, wherever you want, to God's creation. Volcanoes, tidal waves, earthquakes, famines, wars, sickness, disease, shootings in France, in America. We could go on and on. Not good. This is paradise lost. The world in which we live is a world of constant fluctuation and instability. And it will continue to be so right up until God brings about the greatest of all changes on the last day. But concerning Jesus Christ, the Word of God clearly tells us he's not subject to flux and flow. He's not subject to the second law of thermodynamics. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Take the great civilizations of mankind. Egypt, Babylon, Greece, the mighty Roman Empire. Just where are they all now? Every aspect of the world is changing, and the truth is, man can do nothing about it. Not a thing. But the Word of God says there is one who does not change. Even churches don't stay the same. There have been churches hugely blessed down through the ages by God in the past. The New Testament letters to a number of churches that were blessed. Colossians, Ephesians, Thessalonians, etc., etc. Where are those churches today? Where are the churches mentioned in the book of Revelation? What about the Church of Rome in Paul's day? Where is that? That has now changed beyond all recognition. from Paul's day? What about the faithful evangelical churches across Europe that used to be filled with Bible-believing Christians? Where are they today? As I said in my prayer, Europe is fast becoming a spiritual desert. What about the churches in our land today? How many are being faithful to the Word of God today? Friends, wherever we look, we are living in a rapidly changing world. Seems to speed up as we get older. But praise God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One other little thing that is changing. You lot, you're all changing. I used to have hair once. We're all changing. And you youngsters, it'll happen to you. Maybe you won't lose your hair, but you'll change, you'll get older. The hymn writer hit the nail on the head with these words. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Secondly, I wish to highlight in which way Jesus Christ is the same. Well, again, the most obvious and foremost is in Jesus being a person of the Holy Trinity. You remember how Jesus offended his hearers in the course of his ministry by reminding them again and again just who he was. He was the Son of God. He was God the Son. John 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. I almost want to bring in the Colts. I expect they'd have some answer to that. That's the truth of the Word of God. I and my Father are one. Jesus proved that he was the Son of God. Think of the miracles. He healed the sick. We can't heal the sick now. He healed the sick. He stilled the storm with a word. We can't control the weather. Who can? We can't even forecast it correctly. He cast out demons. He raised the dead at a word. He raised himself from the dead because he had power to lay down his life and take it up again. Jesus Christ forgave sin. Who is the only person that can forgive sin? The Jews knew it. Every religion knows that the only person that can forgive sin is God. Jesus forgave sin. Friends, let's be crystal clear to everyone, everyone, who Jesus Christ really is. He is God. He is the everlasting Son of the everlasting Father. He is equal to the Father in power, excellence, majesty, glory. Let us be crystal clear on this. You know, I've met so-called Christians who don't understand this. Jesus, God the Son, entered into humanity in order to save us from our sin. But in that entrance, that miraculous entrance, he never ceased to be God. He has the same authority, same status, dignity and honour as the Father. He is unchanged, unchanging. You know what? He's the same yesterday, today and forever. As someone so aptly put it, the Son of God became the Son of Man that the sons of men might be made the sons of God. And likewise, in relation to his mediation between the Father and his people, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. When Adam sinned against God and broke the covenant of works, who was it? Who was it that revealed to them another wonderful covenant? and spoke of the coming of a Saviour who would bruise the serpent's head. Christ himself. As soon as the covenant of works was broken, Jesus immediately became the mediator of his people. What a Saviour. Jesus stood in the breach to reconcile his people to God. The same one who all through the Old Testament was the great high prophet, the great high priest, the great king of his children. The very same one who is the head of the church and the one who upon his second coming will judge the living and the dead. Jesus Christ is the great mediator of the Old and the New Testament. The one mediator, the one Lord and Saviour, the one who is at the right hand of God the Father, Almighty, enthroned in majesty and splendour. This is the Jesus Christ we worship. Romans 8:34, it is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Intercession for us. Christ and Christ alone, he is the unchanging mediator between God and man. His compassion for men and women who cry out to him, that hasn't changed. His promise stands as sure today as it stood 2,000 years ago when he said it. They're as fresh and true as they came from his lips. Come unto me. Remember those words? Come unto me and I will give you rest. I try to hear the very words of that. In the voice, I know we don't know how Jesus would, but I know he would have said that with compassion, with love, with care. Come unto me and I will give you rest. The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Are you not so pleased that he said those words, Christian? Jesus Christ, the head of the church, is very much a seeker-friendly Saviour. He will turn no one away. No qualifications here. Oh yes, there is. Just one. You have to be a sinner. Guess what? You're all qualified. Every one of you. If you're a sinner, and the word of God says you all are, Jesus says, come unto me. Come to me. I will by no means cast anyone out. He was always kind to those who approached him with genuine needs. Always. The woman who dared only touch the hem of his garment received his comfort. Remember what Jesus said to that woman? Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Go in peace. The men who came trembling, wanting his help, they went away satisfied. Never in the gospel did anyone truly come to Christ with a sincere heart and go away empty. Just doesn't happen. It will not happen. The same is very much true today. For every seeker after mercy, after forgiveness, after reassurance and grace, Jesus will be kind to the timid, he'll be kind to the meek, kind to the poor and humble, kind to those in pain, kind to the desperate, kind to all who genuinely want him. That's everybody in this world. There's not a person in this world that won't suffer pain. Most, the majority are, in one way or another, suffering pain. They're poor. The vast majority of this world are poor. He will turn no one away. How do we know that? How am I so confident in that? Why? Our text. Our text. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today and He is the same forever. Let me highlight one other significant point to all who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. And I know that's a good number here this evening. Jesus is the same in His never-ending love for His dear people. It is said in Hebrews 7, verse 25, these words, Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. That's wonderful, isn't it? Jesus ever lives to make intercession for His people. You and I. You and I, if we're in Christ tonight. He ever lives to make intercession for us. What a wonderful thought that is, Christian, to hold on to. When we try and pray and the prayers don't come. When we try and read the Word of God and we struggle. Dare I say it, occasionally we fall asleep. When the pressures come from this world and we don't know where to turn and we don't know how to ask and we falter, Jesus makes intercession for us. He so loves us. It is said about Jesus that He, by one sacrifice, has perfected forever all that come unto God by Him. Thus Jesus is able to save to the uttermost all who come to Him. That's why we can preach no other. Only Christ can do this. Jesus doesn't need to offer any extra sacrifice. He Himself has finished the work. Remember those words, John 19:30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, this is when He was on the cross, you will hear about this next weekend, I'm sure. He received the sour wine and He said, "It is finished." And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. For you, if you're in Christ tonight, it is finished, it is done. By His death, He entirely finished all that needs to be done. That is why in this very chapter the writer says, that words that I shall probably read at the end, verses 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work. It is because God's love rests on Christ as the great high priest over the house of God. He is able, therefore, to give every believer sufficient grace. He is able to give you grace to live by, grace to live through this mean, rotten, sinful world. He has given you grace to live by and He will give you grace to die by. As Christians, we should know and be assured that when our last moment of life on this planet comes, Jesus Christ will be with us. He will not forsake us. He never will. He cannot. He's promised. How can we be so confident? How can I say that with absolute confidence? Well, look at the Lord's treatment of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. When Stephen was being stoned to death, bearing witness to the truth of Christ, we read these words in Acts 7. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." What a vision. What a glorious vision. Jesus standing to welcome the soul of Stephen into the eternal place of peace. Again, I just like the picture, Jesus. I mean, this is a man being stoned to death, and he sees Jesus. And I picture Jesus just holding his hand out in love. "Come on, Stephen. Come on. Come home." Christian, that is your destiny. That is your destiny if you're in Christ. And more so, the Lord Jesus has died for our bodies as well. He's purchased the whole man. The body of the Christian is as much Christ as is the soul. He has died to give us eternal life, body and soul. So when the trumpet sounds and the dead are raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. And the mortal shall put on immortality. Christian, that is your destiny. We shall shine. We shall shine in glory, and our body shall be like the body of Christ. What a future we have. What a precious future we have to look forward to. All in Christ. And friends, that's not my opinion. My opinion is worthless to you. That's not my wish. But that is the word of God. Both the written word and the word made flesh. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There truly is a deep, continual comfort in this wonderful text. You know, there are times when we are worried or even afraid of what tomorrow might bring. Many a parent and many a grandparent have uttered these words. What kind of world will our children or our grandchildren grow up? You might have said such words yourself. Or what on earth will this planet be like in 50 or 100 years' time? Well, quite frankly, I don't know. We really have no idea what it will be like. But one thing we do know. Beyond any shadow of a doubt, if the world remains, is that it will be a world where Jesus Christ is still king, still priest, still prophet, still the Lord omnipotent. Where Jesus will still instruct the next generation as sure as he taught the previous generation, unlike everything else in this universe. Jesus will never ever lose his power. The Lord knows how to touch the hearts of men and women. He can touch the hearts of children as well. Just as he touched the hearts of our grandfathers and grandmothers. If the Lord tarries, he can touch the hearts of our great, great, great grandchildren who we'll never meet in this world. Why can we be so sure of that? Why can I be so confident to preach this out loud? Because of our text. Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. As difficult as these days are becoming, we must not be overwhelmed with the tide of unbelief that is flooding through our culture today. We know our descendants may yet see great days of revival. We pray for it. Never forget who's building the church. Not us. Not us. God is building his church. God can so easily raise up mighty preachers again. They may even surpass the saints that we look back. Some of them I quote to you. They might even surpass those. Remember, God can do things exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And it is this same Lord God, this same Saviour, this same ruler of the universe on the throne in heaven, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now I know some of us have a tendency to look at the world and say, oh no, look at this world, it's getting worse. It's getting darker by the minute. We must be in the latter days, some will say. Well, I'm sure we are. But Christian, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart here. We hear and pray for missionaries in the third world where there is a growing hunger for God's word. We hear that thousands, even tens of thousands sometimes, are turning to Jesus. There are still many, many Bibles going out to all manner of different countries. There are mountains of good Christian books being distributed throughout the world in hundreds and hundreds of different languages. With many Reformed Christian conferences for pastors taking place all over the world. And let's not forget that the head of the church, Jesus Christ, assures his church, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And you know what? Jesus says, I'm the same. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, some of us look close to home. Some of us say, but don't we see faithful Christian churches closing? We heard of one the other week. And the ones that do remain appear to have no end of problems, no end of disappointments. When we hear of churches closing in this country, we can fear the light of the gospel is going out. The one true church of Christ heading for extinction. Could such a catastrophic disaster ever happen? The gospel of Christ silenced? The church of Christ extinct? Let me be crystal clear on this. It could only ever happen if Jesus Christ is not the one spoken of in our text. So to use a rugby analogy, let's kick out. Let's kick into touch our doubts, our fears. In Christ we stand victorious. At the cross, we hear his victorious declaration. It is finished. Jesus Christ has the victory, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And we also know that, and I hope better than we ever knew before, after coming into this place tonight, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A believer in Christ need not be, nor should be, overly afraid of the ever-changing things of this world. Keep the faith, Christian. Keep on keeping on. After all, it is surely our unbelief that leads us into doubt, leads us into fear, and even despair. Well might Jesus say to us, as he said to others, O ye of little faith. You know what I mean? O you of little faith. Friends, let us absorb this text into the very heart of our being. Let us treasure it in the weeks, months, years to come. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this Jesus, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Let me conclude.
I want to conclude by making two applications. First of all, I want to address any here that have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not blind. No one came in here with a white stick. You're not blind. You can see with your own eyes that everything in this world, including yourself, is changing. Everything in this world is ultimately passing away. In fact, in the light of eternity, everything is here today, gone tomorrow. There is only one thing which is eternally secure, one thing that will not pass away. And my question to you is this. Are you building upon this insecure and passing foundations of this world? If you are, you're in trouble. Or are you building on the eternal rock of salvation that is Christ Jesus? Everything in this world, yourself included, it'll ultimately fail you. It's changing. It's passing on. Not Christ. And to my Christian brothers and sisters, cast away your doubts. Cast away the fears of this world. Fill your life with reverence and reverential fear of Almighty God. A fear of not glorifying your Lord and your Saviour as you should. Have that reverential fear. Brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever your circumstances, and I know some of you have faced some very difficult and trying circumstances, love the Lord. Love the Lord. Love His people. Love His people. Even the difficult ones. The odd ones like me. Love His people. Love the Lord. Glorify God in your personal relationship with Him and your service to Him. And dear Christian, do this in the certain knowledge that your Saviour will never leave you, never, ever forsake you. Friends, I preach to you the unchangeable word of the great unchangeable God. May the Lord indelibly write it on our minds and eternally bless it to our hearts. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.